The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfy with RE/MAX, the Golfy team. Welcome to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, with host Rick Zamprin. How are you, Rick?
I am fantastic. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. I'm getting, my sleeps are getting a little better. I usually get a good sleep every third night, I think, which is because I catch up from the other two. My biggest problem is at night, if I'm watching TV, I'll pass out and I'll get maybe an hour or two sleep before I even go to bed. So then I end up waking up like sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning. Even before like 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, if I'm waking up between 4:30 and 5, I'm happy. I felt I did well with my sleep.
Wow.
But when I'm waking up at 3, and I probably got my 5 hours sleep because I got probably 1 or 2 hours on the couch and then another three or four on in bed. But I'm trying so hard not to, lay down, watch TV. I gotta sit up and just watch it because I'll just pass out. But I know you must, what time are you? You're at the radio station every day at what time? Like 4 o'clock in the morning?
About 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah. So I'm in bed at about 9 or 10, depending on whether there's a sporting event that I want to tune into. And I'm up at 3 and then, yeah, at work at 4. So, yeah, if I get a good 5-6 hours, I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. So your body is used to it. Wait till one day you retire and you're waking up that early regardless.
That's my worst fear.
You got to talk to the past guys that retire and say, hey, are you waking up early still? Or are you getting that sleep?
Yeah.
That's it. So, I take a magnesium, but it just, my biggest problem is just not, I shouldn't get that sleep on the couch. Mm. That's the biggest, my biggest problem. So I got to fix that up. So that's why I try to, wanting to do things all the time. Tell my wife, hey, let's go out. Let's go. She's like, what? How? Like the energy level that I have compared to her. Let's go out. Let's stay out till 11 o'clock every night. If I can do that, I'll do it. You know, just so that I can, then I just come home straight to bed, boom. Yeah. And then I'm up in the morning.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
I feel your pain. I think a lot of others do as well. There might be a lot of pain being felt following the delivering of the federal budget earlier this week. And we're going to take a deep dive into this here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. But just a reminder, if you're listening, whether it's for the first time or for the 1 millionth time over many shows we've had, if you want to sell your house or you are in the mood to buy a home, you're thinking, let's make a change, you got to give the number one RE/MAX team in Canada a call. That is the Golfy team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. You can also follow them on TikTok and Instagram, Facebook, Threads, and X. And for an instant home estimate, go to golfyhomevalue.com. Again, that's golfyhomevalue.com. Before we get to the budget stuff, what is happening in your real estate life? What is the market looking like right now?
The market is moving along. Actually, we're having our first 2 weeks. We've had really good numbers in sales. The confidence level is up there, and surprisingly, yeah, houses are selling, and we're dealing with a lot of buyers. They feel comfortable. They accept the interest rates the way they are. They're probably locking in at maybe at a 3 or 5 year rate under the 5%, which is still a great interest rate. I mean, us older people feel that, but the younger ones are like, what? What are you talking about? But it is a good interest rate. And you know what? There may be, I mean, there was an article in the paper earlier this month indicating that they have no choice, but they got to do some kind of drop, I guess, just to get things rolling again with the, new builds. And what they announced last week was putting in the 30-year amortization on new homes. I get that. That's fine. Overall, I feel good. I think definitely the worst is behind us. I think, the second half of 2022, that was a big adjustment because things were sliding down. And then 2023, I'll tell you, I found the first half of 2023 was a really good year last year for us. It was the second half of 2023. I don't know what happened there. It just, it just fell through the floor, the market. It just, nothing was happening. You could put a house on the market. It was just sitting, even though it was priced right. But so we're matching our first half. It looks like so far we're on pace. We're ahead of last year in the first quarter of last year, which is good because the last year first quarter was really good. So but I feel confident and good about this year because I know we should outperform in the second half of this year that compared to last year. And so if we can do that, our sales numbers are going to be strong and I might even hit the 2000 or surpass the 2021 numbers, which were, everybody had a great year in 2021. Like, wow. It was just like a phenomenal year. So I think 2024 is going to be a record year for us, just like we had a record year in 2021.
That's amazing. Do you get the sense that, because we've heard that, you know, interest rates are eventually sometime, we think this year, going to be coming down. I think people have maybe gotten used to the new economic reality, you know, 4 years past the pandemic. Do you get the sense that people are, you know, a little more comfortable with where they are in their game plan going forward, whether it's a first-time home buyer or someone who's buying or selling for the third, fourth, or fifth time or more?
Yeah, absolutely. They're very confident. Like right now, I purchased a property and I signed in just for late last year. I signed in for just a 2-year mortgage. And because I knew the interest rates were going to be better, I'm going to pay the price now, but I'll feel good once the 2 years is coming up, and I'll renew with a better interest rate. And that's commercial interest rates. Commercial interest rates is way higher than your regular residential interest rates. But that's what I did. You strategically feel that, okay, the interest rate should be decent. Well, by the time my renewal comes up, then I'll lock in for a 5-year term and things like that. And I know some people did lock in, maybe last year, cause they weren't sure, on a 5-year term, and they're at 6.5%. So they're locked in for 6.5%. They're 4.5 years, another 4.5 years left, which is pretty high. I don't know if I would have done that. I think I would have, locked in maybe at a 2 or 3. You do pay more money. There's no doubt about it. The less years you do pay money, more money. And I get it. If a family has a limited amount of household income, they probably couldn't afford to. That's why they had to lock in at the 5-year at maybe 6.5% or 6.2. I understand that. But if you did have excess cash flow, you can play that game and do that. But I do feel for the young couples that can't play that game. And so now for the next 4.5 years, if they renewed last year, they're going to end up paying 6.5%. Meanwhile, everybody's signing up now for under 5%. And that hurts when you're 1.5 to 2% higher than your friends are getting mortgages at.
When it comes to commercial real estate, what are the interest rates like?
Oh, they're pretty high. So right now I have a mortgage on one of my commercial buildings, and it's at 3.5%, which is great, right? It's great. But when I first signed up, it's a little higher than what the residential. But now that commercial real estate is going to go from 3.5 probably to 7.5% or 7. So I'm going to that renews in August. I'm going to renew at a lower, at maybe 1 year open or whatever. I'm not going to go 5 years. I'm probably going to go 1 year or 2 years. I'm going to end up paying a lot more. My mortgage is probably going to be more than double. But I'm willing to tough it out and go from there. Because I don't want to lock in for 5 years. Meanwhile, I know I could have maybe 3.5 of that 5 years, I could have got a lower rate. So yeah, I will pay higher in the short term, but in the long run, I will lock in. And it's always, you know, especially with commercial, cause I know I don't sell my real estate. I usually hang on to it. So I'm in for the long haul. Like, I mean, if I would have signed up for 3.5% for 10 years, if that was available, to me. But it wasn't. So, but yeah, the commercial real estate is pretty expensive. It's up there.
And is the amortization the same as like a residential mortgage?
It depends on the property, if it's commercial or multi-residential. A lot of times, sometimes it's 20 years, 25 years. Yeah, like it's a little different. I think I've got, some of them at 20 years when you sign up, right? Like they just, it's a different ball game. Like it's tough. It is tough to make it work, on commercial, but as the bank gets to know you and you've got a good reputation with them, and I deal with the TD, they know my whole portfolio. They know I've been paying the mortgages for, who knows how long, never missed a payment. They look at that, they look at your history and they'll work with you and try to make it happen for you. And they'll give you the extra, maybe up to 25 years. Just say, hey, listen, I'm looking for 25 years. They don't like it because I think there's a commission basis for them. Mm-hmm. You know, get it on 20 years, get whatever interest rates. They can play with maybe a quarter percent. Maybe I'm not even sure if they can play with a half a percent, but they can play with it. If you ask and push for it, and then when my renewal comes up, I will be shopping around and letting my mortgage person know that, hey, listen, I maybe Scotiabank can give me a half a point less than what they can. I'm going to call them out on it and say, listen, you guys got to do something for me. So I'll be shopping around for that very shortly.
I'm sure as a loyal customer, they'll bend a little to make you happy and keep you as a customer. I think that'll be a win-win situation. In a few minutes, in our next segment, we're going to get into the 2024 federal budget. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland tabled this massive document. It's about $53 billion in new spending over the next 5 years. And a good chunk of it, $8.5 billion, is earmarked to new housing. And, well, some of the ideas that the federal government has is very interesting. I'm going to ask Rob his opinion on what the federal government has planned. And we're also going to get into a list of the best and worst places to buy real estate in 2024. Where does Hamilton and Burlington rank? About Niagara and Brantford and the GTA? You'll find out next here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative with RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. Call them today at 905-575-7700. You'll be calling the number one RE/MAX team in Canada, the Golfy team. If you want to sell your home or you're in the market to buy a house, check them out online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. And you can also tag along on social media, whether it's Facebook or X, TikTok or Instagram, give them a follow and a like. For an instant home estimate, the website to go to is golfyhomevalue.com. And if you do have a topic idea or a question you would like Rob to answer on a future program, send them an email, questions@robgolfy.com. All right, let's get into the federal budget. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland delivering this big document. It's got a lot of dollars attached to it, including $8.5 billion in new spending for housing. They plan, or at least maybe it's more of a hope, to unlock nearly 3.9 million homes in 2031. And the term unlock is key here because obviously we need home builders to build homes. But the unlocking I want to ask you about here, Rob, because part of this plan is to transform 50% of the federal office portfolio into housing. So half of the federal government offices in this country will, I guess, sometime soon become homes. On this first spoke in the budget, what are your thoughts on that?
You know what? I get it, but it's not going to be as easy. Like, it's easy for them to write it on paper, do all this, and just, you know, and try to please everybody. But to now, they have to sell these properties, mm-hmm. and they have to sell them to developers saying, listen, you probably have to develop this, and this is what you have to build in this time frame. But then there's so much red tape that goes with that. I'll tell you, these properties that they're thinking that the federal government, transform them into residential properties, we're looking at 10 years down the road. It's not an instant fix, because by the time they put them for sale, the zoning changes and all this other stuff that you have to deal with the municipalities, it's going to take a long time. But I get it. That's perfect. That's great, because there's probably buildings there that's costing the taxpayers money and it's wasted. But the one thing I want to talk about this thing is that they think they're going to bring this revenue in. What they're going to do is, yeah, it's going to bring revenue in, but they're not going to pay the debt off. They're just going to end up spending that someplace else in that shouldn't be spent. Mm-hmm. Like the government, in my opinion, does not know how to manage money that well. And that's why we keep getting in debt every year. The debt just keeps getting greater. So, and they need to service that debt. So they keep taking from the consumer and to pay that debt. But they're not paying anything down. Like, it'd be nice to pay down the debt and have no debt so that we can run efficiently as a country, but it's never going to happen. Every country out there is running in debt, the US and whatever G7 countries are, and they're having problems whatsoever. So who are we paying this debt to? Like, it's like we have debt, like, but why do we have debt? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, who gets this money? I mean, is there some global overlord that's raking in all this debt? In Canada, we spend $1 billion a week to service our national debt. That's a lot of money.
Exactly. Exactly. So now they want these billions. You think these billions are going to pay down? No, it's just going to be interest that we're going to keep up to till the next election and the next prime minister comes in, and they're going to find out how bad this country shape is in, and they're just going to continue doing the same thing. Eventually, the world is going to end up, I don't know, it's going to end up having to, just bankrupt itself and then start fresh. Okay, everybody, let's wipe out the debt and let's start fresh and we'll forgive all the debt. But I don't get it. I'm not a politician. I don't, I don't follow it too closely. I just, read a little bits it here and there. But them increasing this is just basically buying time. That's what it is. So they want to collect more from the consumer so they can buy more time, and then until their time is up, and then after the next guy is going to have to do the same thing and buy time. And we just keep digging a bigger and bigger, bigger hole. And eventually we're just going to be at a point where, there's not much money to be made. Like, I mean, we work hard as Canadians. And I'll tell you, as a Canadian entrepreneur, it is way harder to be successful in this country than it is in the U.S. Like, if you put the same effort, like a Canadian guy, he puts the same effort and working hard, trying to be successful, whatever business he's opening up in Canada, his chances are very, very not good in making it. But if he went to the U.S., he has a higher chance of being successful than he does in Canada, with the same effort, with the same knowledge, with the same, ambition and everything else. And I'm not promoting the U.S. Mind you, this is not about that. Like, I mean, I went through it. I remember in the 90s when I was trying different businesses, man, I'll tell you, Rick, it was tough. I mean, we had to just dealing with different situations that the government puts on a small business. But not only that, it's tough. Canada's tough as it is, and they're making it tougher. And as each generation goes on, they're making it tougher and tougher for any small business that wants to get started. And that's why we're losing people in this country. They're going to other countries around the world saying, hey, listen, I got what it takes, but this country, man, it's it's tough. So anyway, sorry, back to to converting unused federal offices into homes. Yes, I get you. I think it's a good thing. But hopefully it happens sooner than later.
I'm glad you brought up the U.S. I was honestly going to bring this up a little later on in our budget discussion, but let me hop on this now, because earlier this week on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML, I chatted with RE/MAX Canada President Christopher Alexander, and we were talking about the budget and, this commitment to building more homes. And he said, listen, until we eliminate all the red tape and the delaying that goes on at city halls and provincial legislators and at the federal level, we're not going to achieve the goals that we set out. And he made this comparison. In Canada, it takes about 2 years for the development process to be approved to build a home, a neighborhood, a suburb, whatever the case is. In Miami, for example, he says it takes 4 weeks to do so. The development approval process is the biggest hindrance in this country.
Oh, absolutely. Like I'll tell you, like for doing like little things, like my office in Burlington, you have no idea of what I went through. I had the opportunity to buy the building next to the building I have in Burlington on Branch Street. And I said, no way, I'm not even touching it. Like I said, you know what I went through with the city of Burlington? Of trying to get things done. They go out of their way trying to slow you down for some reason. They are not there to help the business person, the person that's investing in real estate. They will slow you down like you would not believe. I've been through it. It took me 2 years, over 2 years with the city of Burlington, what they did to me. And you think I'm going to touch another building in Burlington? Like if I'm going to buy a property in Burlington, I got to make sure it's all done. So I say, okay, everything's done. Perfect. I don't have to deal with the city anymore. I don't have to deal with the city of doing any changes or whatsoever, but they are and I know, you know, I'll get black, but like any business person will understand what I'm talking about. Especially if they're in Burlington and had to go through it. I was talking to a guy that owns a restaurant. He told me it took him over a year just to get a patio approved. He goes, like, do you know how much business I lost for that? And he said, when he was opening up and everything else like that, it's not good. They are not good to help business people. So do you think trying to develop properties in different municipalities is going to be quick? Mm-hmm. No way. It is tough.
Yeah, I don't understand why it takes so long. I mean, someone has a plan. Yeah, maybe do a community consultation kind of meeting, get some input, and then, okay, rubber stamp, you're done. Go.
Yeah.
Another couple things in the budget. And in addition to, planning to transform half the federal office portfolio in this country into housing, the federal government also proposing to build homes on Canada Post properties, saying 1,700 plus Canada Post offices across the country can be used to build new homes while maintaining postal services. And they're pointing to places like BC, Alberta, and Quebec to do so. And in addition to that, rethinking, as they say, national defense properties, i.e., redeveloping properties and buildings on national defense lands, i.e. military property, into homes. I don't know if you're going to have, fighter jets above or what the case is, but, you know, interesting scenarios. To me, this all sounds like a drop in the bucket. We need, as the government says, 3.9 million homes. I don't see a lot of these homes being built on these kind of lands.
No, I don't see it either. And you know what? Yeah, they're willing to open up land, national defense properties, yep. And they're basically open land. Well, we got a lot of open land here. We're trying to get developed, but it's being frozen, and that's why nothing's getting done. Like, so they're okay to develop open land in. It's not even near a residential area. Usually these properties are far from residential area. So what, they're going to start building a subdivision like 5 kilometers away from the nearest downtown or whatever. I don't know. Like, I mean, this is just stuff on paper. And now, you know, will all this get done? No way. There's no way. They're not good at implementing. They're good at writing things down, but not good at implementing. So, I don't see. I could see a few things that they're going to try to change, but again, it's all up to the municipalities. It's all the cities and towns that if they're going to, you know, allow it, and if they take their time doing it, we'll be back in this conversation in 10 years from now talking about what they wanted to do then didn't get done.
I get the sense that we're both getting angry. I think our listeners are getting angry, so let's move off the budget. There's other things to talk about, including this list that was compiled by Money Sense Magazine and Zoocasa. They partnered together to form the 2024 edition of Where to Buy Real Estate in Canada. Where's the best and where are the worst places to go to. So among the best, I'll give you the top five, 5-1. Number five is North Bay, Ontario, with a benchmark price. This is benchmark price last year of just shy of $398,000. Fredericton, New Brunswick, in at number four, $282,000. Sault Ste. Marie, $283,000. St. John, New Brunswick, at $286,000. And Greater Moncton, New Brunswick, $328,000. Apparently, three out of the top five, all in New Brunswick. Apparently, New Brunswick is the place to be.
Oh, absolutely. It's areas where it's not as heavily populated. Sometimes it could be a little colder. But house values inflate slower than they do in other parts like Ontario and BC.
But
now they ranked Hamilton, Burlington, number 40. Now I did the benchmark price of Hamilton. So they shouldn't mix Hamilton, Burlington together. They should put the two separate cities. So Hamilton, the benchmark price is $740,000. That's based on last year. So $740,000. So they would be pushed up, not from 40, they'd be pushed up to number 35 or 36. And then Burlington would be at $998,900, which would bump them to number 40.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so the thing is, like, they should not, I don't know why Hamilton, Burlington, when they submit their numbers, because it's one real estate board and it's combined. And when you combine Burlington with Hamilton, the benchmark price is going to be higher. The average price is going to be higher. It's not a true number. Like, you got a higher, wealthier area of homes that are selling for $1 million, $2 million, averaged with the homes that are selling for the $700,000, $800,000 in Hamilton. So it brings the average up. So I don't think they should do that. But anyway, yeah. But like, it's usually the colder places are the best price places that have great prices. Like North Bay, number five, mm-hmm. $397,000. But that there, I'll tell you, North Bay, it's pretty cold up there.
It's a little out of the way.
So the thing about North Bay is that anybody that's born and raised in North Bay, there's a high probability they're not gonna stay there,
right.
Unless they have a family business or something that makes them stay there for some other reason. But most people, most of the younger generation, are leaving North Bay. It's just in the middle of nowhere. Calgary, I could see that. Calgary is a great place. I mean, I'd buy real estate in Calgary any day of the week. I think it's a great, great area. So if I was buying there, Bancroft, I should have bought gas in Bancroft when I was driving through. I should have bought gas. If you're driving through Bancroft, stop for gas, because anything beyond Bancroft, you won't see a gas station for hours. So do that.
It's a good plan.
Because I did run out of gas. I did run out of gas there.
Oh, no. Okay.
I passed by. I said, oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to get more on this story of Rob running out of gas. And we're also going to get into where Brantford ranks on this list, where Niagara is. We'll get to the GTA as well. Don't forget, if you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a home, call the number one REMAX team in Canada, the Golfy Team, 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. More of the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, next on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, REMAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy Team. Call them today at 905-575-7700. The Golfy Team is the number one REMAX team in Canada. That number again, 905-575-7700. The website is robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. They're destroying the competition on social media as well. Some great posts, awesome listings on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and X. And if you have a topic idea or a question for the Golfy team you would like addressed on a future program, send your email to questions@robgolfy.com. Before the break, we were talking about the best and worst places to buy real estate, according to Money Sense Magazine and Zucasa. They have a list of the top and, well, at the bottom of the list, some of the more expensive places. So recapping 1 through 5, number one, Greater Moncton, St. John, New Brunswick was second, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, third, Fredericton, fourth, North Bay, fifth. Rob mentioned Calgary before the break. That is in at number 8. Winnipeg's at 12. Montreal is 13. Regina, 14. Edmonton, 17th on the list. Brantford is 30th. On the list, last year, benchmark price $677,000. Niagara Region, number 32, with a benchmark price of $646,000. Kitchener-Waterloo's 35th, Cambridge, 36th, Guelph, 39th, Hamilton-Burlington, 40th, and in 42nd is the GTA. Should also mention that Oakville/Milton is 45th and last on the list. Any of those surprise you?
Yeah, like there's some, you know what, there's some good areas like Montreal is I thought that was pretty good for Montreal. I'm surprised Niagara was down below so far down the 32 Niagara region. Brantford, same thing, you know what I mean? And the reason why is because they're within an hour. Anything within an hour drive of the GTA, that's where it is getting more expensive because people are going out that way. But you find near the colder cities and towns are the ones that are decent priced. But if you can find, like, I think Calgary of this list, if anybody's going to buy real estate, where did Calgary?
Number 8.
Was it number 8? I think Calgary, I'll tell you, that is the place to buy real estate. It is in the top 10. And so it still shows undervalued, and a lot more people are going to start moving out to Calgary. And Calgary is a beautiful city. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of realtors in Calgary, and I know it's driven by oil. And I know sometimes like they went through a recession for a long time, but they were still selling real estate. Like if oil's like everything depends on that oil, right? And you know, whether it's up or down, but whatever. But right now, last year, Calgary ranked as number 8. I think if I had to do something, I would go down that road to Calgary and buy. Even Windsor. Windsor's not bad. But I remember when Windsor, and this is not that less than 10 years ago, houses were going for like 100,000, 150,000. And look at them now. And it's a lot of the GTA buyers went out there and invested, and they just drove the number up. They drove the average price up in Windsor.
Yeah. Number 23 on the list, benchmark price, $568,000. You mentioned before the break, you ran out of gas in Bancroft.
Oh yeah. I got to tell you the story. So my friends like fishing. I'm not a big fisherman, and I'm a little bit too hyper for fishing. So I'm driving up there with a trailer, and I drive through Bancroft, and I see that I've got enough gas. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait till I get close to empty, fill up at a gas station close to the destination I'm going to, and then fill up. So then when I leave, I can just go straight. I don't have to stop for a gas. Well, guess what? There's not many gas stations after Bancroft, especially after 5 o'clock, because everybody closes down at 5 o'clock. No. There was one little town called Apsley, and they closed. And I'm like, and now I'm praying to God. And you know when you're praying to God and you're saying, please God help me, please God help me. So anyway, I pass Apsley, 5 minutes past Apsley, and I pull over and I'm out of gas. So I call my friends. I say, guys, you better start eating. I am not going to be there on time. So I pull over and I'm going, what do I do? I've never been in this situation before, in the middle of nowhere, run out of gas. I got to tell you something. You're not going to believe this story. I see two cars coming up ahead. So I stick out my thumb and pretend I'm going to hitchhike.
Wow.
So I go, I don't know what that was going to get me, but I don't know. I didn't even. So the first car goes by and, oh no, the second car pulls over way up ahead and then backs up. And it was a lady. She stopped. She could see my billboard was on the trailer, right? I was pulling a trailer full of stuff. So as she pulls back, I go, "Hey," I go, "I ran out of gas, this and that." And she's kind of, you know, looking me up and just trying to see if you know. Listen, I'm not a serial killer. Like, I'm not like that. But that's what serial killers would say. They're not a serial killer, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So anyway. So she drove me to Apsley, which was 5 minutes away, where it was the town that I passed. And there was a lady that closed in the liquor store there. She goes, "Oh," I go, "Is there a gas station?" "No, not to tomorrow." But she says, "Let me see if I can get a hold of the owner of the gas station."
Wow.
He wasn't home because they don't really carry cell phones. Then the owner of the gas station happened to pull in. I'm like, "Oh my God." So anyway, I ended up getting gas and, everything worked out. But yeah, it was a pretty, but fill up in Bancroft before, any time, and if you're in Apsley, fill up before 5 o'clock because otherwise it's after five, you're not going to see a gas station forever.
Wow. That's tremendous. When we come back, we're going to talk about a high rise project in Toronto that includes a bit of a twist. We'll get to that next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
And one more go around here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. The Golfy team is the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. So call them today if you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a home. 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com. Rob, your story of running out of gas in Bancroft, I'm sure many people can relate, but you do have one addendum or addition to the story.
I tell everybody the story. So when I meet my friends at my friend's cottage and everything, is, you know, they didn't believe the story. They thought I was like, "Who picked you up? You hitchhiked? What the heck is that?" And they go, "Why don't you just call CAA?" You know what? I didn't even think about that. I just like, you know what? You know when you're in a situation like I need help. Like I saw two cars coming. I was hoping that somebody could help me there.
Yeah.
But if I did call CAA, chances are I would have been 2-3 hours late. But I actually, the whole time that I lost from that I was supposed to be there was less than an hour. So I actually got lucked out. Thank you to the lady that picked me up, turned me around, and so. Fate, you know how they say karma and fate?
Mm-hmm.
Karma and fate was on my side because the guy at the gas station ended up showing up just to pick up something. He got me filled up and everything else like that.
Nice.
But yeah, I should have called CAA, I guess, you know, but if I didn't get picked up by any, as a hitchhiker, but who the heck hitchhikes now?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I can't believe I did that, but I did it.
It's a pretty rare occurrence. And desperate times call for desperate measures. And you lucked out for sure. Let's end the show
there
with this
go.
One. This is a really interesting story. There's a development in Toronto that is said to be the first of its kind in the city. It's a high rise project that includes a Catholic school at the base of the foundation of the two towers that they're building. So it's a 36 and 46 story tower condo project, and it has a Toronto Catholic District School Board elementary school at the base. What do you think about this?
Where do they get the money? I guess the Pope is dishing out money. They're financing this, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, like, I guess, I don't know. Like, it's just, is it a school and a church, or is it just a church?
I think it's just a school. And with it being a Catholic school, I guess there would be obviously a Catholic church kind of component, but it would be primarily a school. There will be a playground, but there would also be two condo towers on the facility. And, you know, we have this debate in Hamilton about turning old former schools into housing. You know, the Sir John A. McDonald property downtown would be, I guess, a great example. They still need a school in that area. Why not build a school on that site and a high rise or some kind of housing?
Yeah, you know what? They should. But you know what's happening is in Hamilton, you're not going to get as many families moving into condos. But in Toronto, for sure, there's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of kids, especially under the age of probably 10, that are going to end up growing up in a condo downtown, just because, you know, couples, they work in the corporate world, and it's nice to have something close. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Are there schools downtown Toronto anywhere there? There's probably not that many schools, so they probably felt that a school needs to be put there. Mm-hmm. And this is a way of doing it. And probably the school board is, the Catholic school board is probably pitching in a lot of money for that space to have the school there.
Well, and that's why I see it's kind of a win-win, because if you have the school board throwing in some dollars, I'm sure the provincial government is going to do so as well. And now you have a developer contributing to the program. It's a little easier to stomach in terms of, you know, from a cost perspective.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm sure that somebody was smart enough to put a deal like that together with the school board and, you know, to say, hey, let's see if we can, you know, manage this and put this together so that everybody wins. And it looks like it's going to work out. And that school probably filled up so fast that, especially with the high density of people living down in the downtown core, them doing this.
Yeah, talk about, you know, instant registration. All the kids, or at least most of them, will be probably in the condo tower. One of the counselors in Toronto says it's 100% a trend. And again, I'm like you, I'm not sure this would, you know, mushroom cloud here in Hamilton with a bunch of new developments like this. But in Toronto, it makes sense. There's so many condos there already.
Oh, absolutely. And there's probably not enough schools in where they are. Yeah. They probably have to be bused so far away that and we know that it's becoming more difficult to hire and find bus drivers now. So it's tough. Like I know in some small communities, they share the bus people, like the Catholic and the public school boards. They say, okay, well, Catholic kids are going to school for 8:30 and the public kids are going to school for 9 o'clock. And just so that everybody, they have one bus service that works for both of them.
It's an interesting concept. Who knows if it's going to spread here to Hamilton or maybe Burlington, or who knows, maybe even Niagara. They might catch wind of this and think it's a really good win-win scenario. You can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for The Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. And if you want to sell your house, or you're in the market to buy a home, call the number one REMAX team in Canada. The Golfy Team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com. Big thanks to Rob once again, and thank you for listening to The Golfy Real Estate Show. We're back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.